careful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the book of Genesis, chapter 43, and we'll read the first part of verse 11. Genesis 43, the first part of verse 11. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now. The book of Genesis, chapter 43, and the first part of verse 11, it's really these words, if it must be so now. These words seem to drop into my heart this morning, and one feels to need much grace to bring it before you. They were spoken by dear Father Israel in a time of great concern and great exercise. There were several things to burden him and to exercise him here. First of all, there was the great famine that they were in. The land was all dried up through famine. And the Lord had wonderfully, in his divine providence, and overruled the brethren of Joseph, and they meant it for evil when they sold him down into Egypt, and God was in it all. The purposes of heaven were to be fulfilled, that he should be a governor in Egypt, and they would all have to come down and bow before him, exactly what he told them many years before. But you see, these men were Joseph haters and Joseph murderers, and the Lord was to bring them right away from all that evil and to fall down before Joseph. And the Lord used solemn searching means, didn't he? And this famine had come upon the land, and they had been sent down there, and how wonderfully the Lord provided that corn and provender which they so needed. And look how wonderfully they were rewarded. All the money was returned in their sacks. But there were so many things, weren't there, to bring them to come to Joseph. And really, as I've said many times, that Joseph was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And really, when we think of these brethren, how many things that were to bring them to Joseph. Is it not so with us? Are there not many things in our hearts, in our pathways, in our families, in the Church of God, or even to the nation, to cause us to go unto Joseph? Often think of that word that Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians. It's a beautiful word, really, wasn't it? Go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And that came from the heart of Pharaoh. Go unto Joseph. And what he saith unto you, do. But they had to go down there, and the Lord wonderfully provided. But the Lord was to bring them back again, wasn't he? But, of course, they didn't know who Joseph was. He was hid, as it were, from them. They refer to him as the man. And there is a sacred side to that, really. Think of the heavenly Joseph. What are we seeing? A man. There is a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. Do we know what it is, like these brethren of Joseph did, to have dealings with this man, the man Christ Jesus? He is a real man, and he understands, and Joseph did, exactly what these brethren of his were in. They didn't know him, and they couldn't understand his dealings, but he knew all that they needed. And so does the heavenly Joseph tonight. Knows all the need of each one of his dear children. And in this chapter, they have to return again because the famine had come with such vengeance and power. They had nothing to feed on for themselves or their little ones, or their cattle, and all their livelihood was being, as it were, stripped from them. And dear Father Israel, of course, was old, and he had heard what they had said. What Joseph requested, the man had said, that they should not see his face unless they brought their brother to him. And when they told Father Israel this in the previous chapter, what did he say? And what a searching place it was. Jacob, their father, said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. It's a place that the flesh does not like. It's a place that the sinner will tremble when they come to it. And it's a place that only the Lord can appear. But oh, you see how low the dear man was when he said this. You can well understand it. But in the chapter that we read, Judah beseeches of his father Israel to let Benjamin go, otherwise they'd all perish because of the famine. And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him, but my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee. Then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And then the words which Father Israel spoke, and their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now. And how many times do the Lord's dear people have to come to that, if it must be so? The first thing we would say is this. We need much grace to really be able to utter this from our hearts, if it must be so. We sing and hope to sing at the close, and as soon as the text dropped in, that beautiful hymn dropped into my heart, and must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? And it may be there are things that you're in this evening, and you look at what it may be, and I'll name a few things in a moment, and you have to say before the Lord, if it must be so. You see, this was part of the purposes of heaven. Benjamin must go down there. But it went so against the grain of Father Israel. You can well understand it. But this was part of the purposes of heaven. Oh, it was. The Lord was in it. And in your heart, in your pathway, may you be able to feel it and know it like he did. You see, we need grace to be submissive. It's something that's not in our nature, is it? But the Lord can make his dear people submissive to his will in a moment. Oh, he can. The grace of submission. I remember Mr. Stanley Dow saying to me on one occasion, he said, you know, it's something I long to know more and more of, that grace of submission. And he said, I hope I've had a few times where the Lord has made me submissive. Well, let us turn aside a moment. Think of these words, if it must be so now. You think of the dear Lord Jesus in his suffering, in his agonies in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then at Calvary. If it must be so now. It must be, you see. What did he say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And you look how submissive the dear Saviour was. There was no other way that sinners could be saved but for Christ to endure those sufferings and agonies, both in Gethsemane and upon the cross. If it must be so now, suffer it to be so now. And then you think of the dear Lord Jesus in that wonderful third chapter of Matthew, where we have the Saviour there in Jordan to be baptized of John. And what did he say? Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered it. you think how submissive the dear Saviour was. You know, it's a great asset to a minister in administering a baptism when the candidate is submissive. Resigned to go back under that water, submissive to the Lord's will. You think of this word, if it must be so now. Well, as the dear Saviour so manifested there in his baptism, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfil all righteousness. And he suffered. And think of this regarding his suffering. But then think of that glorious resurrection morn. Well, before I name it, let us just step back to Calvary. If it must be so now, the Son of Man, the dear Redeemer, the dear Lord Jesus, he must lay down that precious life. And oh, you think of when he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He must die, if it must be so now. Many of those dear disciples, those dear godly women, they wept and grieved. But you see, the Lord was in it all. And his purposes, his divine will, must all be fulfilled. And so it was here all these years before to dear Father Israel. But I want to bring it home to each of us in a moment as helped. Think of that blessed resurrection morn. The text says, if it must be so now, he must rise. Look at the wonderful certainty, if it must be so. There was no other way they could have obtained this wonderful provision in the time of famine, but Benjamin to go down. This was the Lord's way. It wasn't just Joseph's way or Joseph's will. It was the Lord's. And you think of that glorious resurrection morn. He must rise. Triumphant over all his enemies. They were all put down. He had come forth as that mighty conqueror. And you know, how will you and I conquer at the end? It'll be through him. But ye are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us and washed us with his own heart's blood. And his dear people, like Father Israel, was to conquer too. He couldn't himself, could he? There he was, back in the land of Canaan, trembling in it all. If it must be so now. If nothing this evening, may this text ring in our hearts and be applied to us. But to bring it home to each of our souls. Think of what you're in tonight, I don't know, but the Lord does. Well, let us look at a few things. First of all, the afflictions. And when we name affliction, I don't just mean affliction of body, though that may be so. It can mean affliction of mind. It can mean affliction of circumstance or afflictions in our families. It meant anything. If you look the real meaning of affliction in God's word, He meant anything that caused pain and anguish. And this path that dear old Jacob was walking in now was a path of pain and of anguish. Oh, it was. But it was the Lord's way. And you may look at what you may be in today, in this path of affliction, and you may say, Lord, why has this come? Why am I lost? It must be so now. You've got to walk through it, you say. Jacob had to. There was no getting around it. As the old Mr. Kirby used to say, you cannot get over it. And you cannot get under it. And there's no going round it or by it. You've got to go through it. And the dear man, you know, had got to walk right through all this. Those of us that have got children will know the anguish. You think he didn't know whether Joseph was dead or alive. All he had knew was the blood-stained coat and the words of the brethren. And then you think that they'd taken Simeon down there and he had been kept. And now they come to take away, really, we may say, his babe, the child of much promise and the child he so loved. It seemed as though the Lord was tearing the very flesh of his bones. But what was he given grace to say? If it must be so now. The Lord was to make him submissive, as I said at the commencement, to let him go. You know, the time will come, and this is what seemed very searching to me when the word came, when we shall have to leave everything here. You know, there's much our flesh clings hold to, our loved ones, our belongings in the earth, the things that God has given us, but the hour will come when we shall have to leave it all. We brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We shall have to leave all. And you think of those dear disciples we read concerning them when the Lord called them to follow him. They rose up and they left all and followed him. All they did. Can we say tonight with the hymn writer, I can from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. We need much grace to say that. I look back in my early days and I remember a dear servant of God preaching in the old chapel at Chatham. And he said while he was preaching, you know, each one of us have got to come there if we're to get to heaven to say, I can from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. He says, easy to quote it, another thing to know it. And you know, that went right home into my soul. And there was one thing I didn't feel I could part with. But you know, as I drove from that chapel to a friend's house, the Lord stripped it from me. And I remember, instead of going in the house, I walked up the garden and my soul was so full. I said, Lord, I can leave it all. And you know, I could have gone straight from that spot to heaven. It was a wonderful hour, you know, but the blessing of the Lord, if it must be so now, and it may be, the Lord is weaning us each of this earth. It must be so. There's no getting around. But think of those afflictions you may be in. Think of those troubles, and I must be brief, that you're walking through. It may be in circumstance, it may be in your family, I don't know. But if it's the Lord's will, like it was with Father Israel here, he got to walk in this. May the Lord give you grace and me to walk in it. And you may say, well, look at Father Israel. We're favoured to know what the issue was in it all. If you read in the chapters following. But when the dear man was in it, he didn't know whether he's ever going to come out of this. He thought he'd go to the grave in tears and in weeping. That's how he felt. It cut him to the very quick. Oh, it did. But let me just tarry on the blessed issue that followed it. He had to walk right through it. And you look how the Lord wonderfully appears. Not only were they to be provided for in this time of great famine, Joseph had the keys to all the storehouses in Egypt. All he had. He could provide all they needed. And look how he wonderfully returns Simeon and Benjamin back to them, to him. The Lord was to do it. And not only this, Joseph was ruler over all Egypt. And oh, you go to chapter 45 and that beautiful word that the Holy Spirit has left on record concerning the dear man. And this was all to come out of what's in our text. And what do we read? As they returned, and we read this, and they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted. Oh, you can well understand the joy just fainted because of it all. What a contrast, wasn't it? The sorrow of chapter 42, the sorrows of chapter 43, but now the Lord had turned the captivity of the dear man. Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. You think those wagons? You know, we often pray, don't we? The Lord would show us a token for good. And you know, many sermons could be preached on that beautiful word. Let me just name one or two things. First of all, go back to Noah, those two wonderful tokens the Lord gave him. First, the bow set in the cloud, a token of God's love and covenant toward him. And then when the flood had subsided too, what do we find? The dove returning with the olive leaf in her mouth. That God had given him the token that the flood was now subsided from the earth. There was the olive leaf. And what does it set before us? Peace. And this is what the Lord was to give to old Jacob. And what do we read? The wagons were coming. It wasn't Joseph, but it was the evidence that God was on his way. And he would appear, those wagons, as he saw them coming. What a blessed sight it was to the dear man, wasn't it? And Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die." It was just as though the Lord was to crown the dear man's life. Oh, it was. What a contrast, wasn't it? And then, oh, you think of it. This text can be applied in both ways. The sorrow in one side, if it must be so now. But ah, think of the joy of the other side when the Lord appeared. They that sow in tears, Jacob did, shall reap in joy. Some of you tonight may be saying, "Well, the path I'm walking in is just what's in our text." If it must be so. If it is the Lord's will, may he give us grace to walk it out. But ah, there be the joy. Sorrow, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And the Lord will give that joy to every one of his dear children. They know it in the sweetness and reality of it here in time, the taste of it, but they know the fullness of it in glory. There to see his face without a veil between. Well, I've scratched around the surface of this. Much could be said concerning it, but may the Lord bless the word to us. Amen.